This is Bloomberg Markets with Carol Masser and Corey Johnson on Bloomberg Radio.
Yeah, that's what everybody's trying to do, is find a good deal, a bargain perhaps, in today's market environment. Kind of tough with some names considering some of the run-ups that we've seen. Let's talk a bit about the markets and specific picks. Larry Pitkowski is back with us, co-founder, co-portfolio manager at Goodhaven Capital Management, roughly $400 million in assets under management, based in Millburn, New Jersey, back in our Bloomberg 1130 studio. Nice to have you back with us.
Nice to be here, Carol.
When you look at the market, is it... You know, we talk about some of the names that really have had a tremendous run, but as we heard from our Bloomberg Stocks columnist Dave Wilson earlier, like if you take a look at consumer discretionary and you take out Amazon, there's a lot of names in terms of valuations that are much more reasonable out there, that something like Amazon kind of distorts a certain sector. When you look at the market, do you find lots of opportunities out there?
I wouldn't say that in today's world we find lots of opportunities. You know, the market overall, the indexes are high by any historic measure.
But that's the index, which can be skewed by
correct.
A few names.
That's correct. And I think going forward, I think it really behooves you to really do some digging and try and look a bit less like the index and try and find some real one-off bargains, which is what we try and do. And I think we've constructed a portfolio that is much more attractively valued than the overall market at the Goodhaven Fund.
It's a question I ask a lot of our money managers who come on the show, but I'll ask you as well. You know, how do you do that? What kind of characteristics do those stocks, financial characteristics, do they have?
You know, Corey, I think good old-fashioned fundamental analysis is at the root of everything that we do. Okay, we wake up every day and we try and look for things where we think we don't have a lot of downside, where we have a lot of upside. Often that means wading into areas that are currently unpopular or out of favor. I mean, to give you an interesting historic example, you know, Google Alphabet is one of our top five holdings. But when we purchased it at under $300 a share, it was unpopular. It was out of favor. There was criticism about their acquisition of YouTube. There was criticism about management's cost controls or what people felt were lack thereof. And it created an opportunity. So I think you need to look where there is some fear, some uncertainty, or where there is potentially a mispriced opportunity, and that we will always do, even though the areas where we find them will change with the times.
We should point out to your fund, if I'm correct, I'm just looking at some numbers, I think it was up about 20% last year?
That's correct. We were up about 20% last year, and though we started the year a little bit behind the eight ball, and that was because of some interesting opportunities we had uncovered that worked out well in energy. And once again, it's interesting. Year-to-date, energy is actually now one of the poorest-performing, if not the poorest-performing, market sector, and we think there are some opportunities there.
That means you've been buying in that area?
We have been doing some buying, correct.
What specifically, Larry?
You know, one of the most interesting things about the companies we found in the energy area is that our thesis has nothing to do with predicting the price of oil or gas, which we don't think we have the skill set to do. Mm. We found two companies where we think...
That could be a fool's game.
Well, we don't think we have that skill set. We think we do have a potential skill set to identify good management teams and attractive stock prices. At WPX Energy, which is a big holding for us, Rick Muncrief is a great CEO. We think the stock is cheap, even if oil doesn't really do much.
It's been killed this year.
It's been very weak lately.
At least on the share price.
The share price has been killed.
Yeah.
The company itself is moving along with a very attractive growth plan. They plan to grow oil production and cash flow between 30% and 40% per year between now and 2020. They're 75% hedged at oil over $50 for 2017. Management has bought stock at over $13 earlier in the year. So we think
stock's trading at 971 right now.
971, and we think it's very easy for us to see that the stock could easily be worth twice the current price under a certain set of circumstances.
Hedging above 50, we've got oil at 45 and change. Is that maybe, though, a dangerous play if they're hedging for something?
I mean, no, I think they're hedging to protect their ability to deliver on their growth plans. I think that they believe we're not in the business of guessing the price of oil over some short period of time. We want to make sure we protected our cash flow so we can embark on the growth plan that we've laid out.
You said,
You
say you like the CEO. What is it that, and tell me about how closely, I mean, do you meet with them? What is it that you look at or, you know, that you get kind of above and beyond just looking at some financials? You know, you've met with him, I'm assuming, and his team, and that's what says, I like this guy?
You know, when Rick came in to run the company in 2014, not only had we met with him, okay, and did we meet with him, we went out and we tried to talk to dozens of people who had worked with him in his prior life. It's very important for us to really understand who's at the helm of a commodity company, because capital allocation skills are very, very important, because there's things in the business that they don't control. So they have embarked on a plan which they've laid out. They have done what they have said. They have bought stock for themselves in a material way along the way. They have exceeded many of their own targets along the way. So we've grown comfortable that they can execute within the things that they can control.
So at the time when you first looked at it, as me finding out more about how you look at stocks as much as anything, you had a business that was growing at a pretty good clip top line in 2014, although, you know, first quarter 25% top line growth for the year 16%. What was it about the numbers in 2014 that put this on your radar, that you were willing to spend the time to meet management and so on?
I think it was really the new management that really made it attractive to us. I mean, Rick came from a very, I think, a successful background, having been in Continental Resources, at Burlington Resources, and which became absorbed by Conoco. And he had done some very interesting things historically, and he was here getting his chance in the CEO seat at a company that had some interesting assets but really had not been well run. And he has set out to remake the company and now has them centered around the Permian, owns some of the best acreage in the Permian, which he bought in 2015 before the Permian really became the focus point of U.S. production. And we think he's probably doubled his money from that purchase just over this period of time.
I'd love to talk about more of your picks. You got to come back, because I know American Airlines is something you like, and I've just been looking at the airlines. And from a consumer's perspective, I find American pretty interesting, because I think some of the big consolidation moves have made it
It is very interesting.
Difficult for some of the carriers.
It's working out well, and I'll be happy to come back and talk about it.
All right, Larry Petoskey, he's a co-founder, co-portfolio manager at Goodhaven Capital Management, based in Millburn, New Jersey, in our Bloomberg 1130 studio on this Thursday. This is